you and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us for the hour here on the YouTube America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller, and ahead we have got, it is National Vet Girls Rock Day. That is in veterans. And there are nearly 2 million women who serve in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. And we're going to be chatting with one of our favorite groups. It's called Veteran Sisters, led by founder and president Paula Kemp, about some of the issues facing our female members of the military today, including suicide rates and things that are just very germane to women and not necessarily men. So we look forward to talking to her on this National Vet Girls Rock Day. Michael Hart, our friend that's with the Michael Hart Heart of America show, he's also got a book called Unknown America. It goes deep into some of the false facts, fake news of the past couple hundred years, things we learned in school that were probably wrong or maybe we didn't learn at all. We're going to be talking to him about the political headlines of the day, including avowed socialist Bernie Sanders has jumped into the race for the White House. He released a video announcing his second consecutive bid for the Democratic presidential nomination. Sanders joins a long list of Democratic hopefuls, many of whom are leaning toward the socialist agenda. And a lot of reaction on Twitter. We have some of our, we have Larry Ward who responded, and some other people saying, this is just no good. Charlie Kirk, Bernie Sanders spent nearly $300,000 on private air travel in October. For a committed socialist, he sure seems to love living like a capitalist. And then I think we have Larry Ward. Bernie pitching economic justice, to be clear. This means he is going to steal your money. So some reaction on Twitter there. A coalition of states, 16 of them, are joining forces to try to sue over the emergency declaration that President Trump made last week, the declaration that's meant to get us a secure border wall. And they're taking their case to that loosey-goosey Ninth Circuit Court, that California court that loves to overthrow all things Trump. They want a federal judge to stop the national emergency. President Trump predicted this, said he's ready to deal with any court issues that come up, and so they begin. The coalition says the emergency declaration is unconstitutional and that diverting funds for the wall will hurt their economies, the military, wildlife, and get this, their anti-drug efforts. The wall would hurt anti-drug efforts, so that's pretty rich. It seems Jesse Smollett might have been lying when he said that a couple white guys in a MAGA hat attacked him. Are you following this story? So many ups and downs. They said that they attacked him in the wee hours in a Chicago morning and put a noose around his neck. Actor from Empire now word that the role has been slashed in the Fox series. And so it looks like his role might be going away. Chicago police are looking into a story, and a bunch on the left are grappling with being hoodwinked by fake news. Conservative commentator Terrence K. Williams says Smollett does deserve an award.
I was talking to a friend, and I said, I just want them to find them. And she said, sweetie, they're not going to find them. And that just made me so angry, because so I'm just going to be left here with this?
Oh, my stomach hurts. Okay. The Academy Award goes to you. Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. I cannot deal. Okay, listen. Okay, get myself together here. Okay. Okay, Terrence, snap out of it. Boy, the fact that you actually cried over an attack that you staged. America is so great that you had to pay somebody, some Nigerians, to oppress you. And it's the first time ever anybody has ever scammed some Nigerians. Boy, you know you wrong.
Welcome back to America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. Glad you're along with us. We've got a bunch of good stuff ahead. Michael Hart of the Heart of America show will go over some of the political headlines of the day. And of course, there are so many, you almost have to just figure out what to focus on. Got the government border deal, the national emergency that 16 states are trying to shut down. And Michael's the author of Unknown America, Myths and Little Known Oddities About the Greatest Nation on Earth. And so he'll probably have just a series of books about strange things that have been happening just going back the past 2 to 4 years, right? A lot of crazy stuff. We'll talk about Venezuela. Bernie Sanders jumping into the race. Barack Obama coming out and saying he thinks there is room for more moderate Democrats to jump into the race. So be interesting to see what Barack Obama thinks of all this. Just so many with socialist agendas, so we will see. And that's with Michael Hart just ahead. But right now, it is National Vet Girls Rock Day. And this is to celebrate the more than 2 million women over the years who have served in our armed forces. And just some interesting facts. During the Civil War, more than 400 women fought by disguising themselves as men. So were their hearts to do duty for their country. Women were officially allowed to join the military during the last 2 years of World War I. And in 2016, the U.S. opened all military positions, including combat positions, to women. And we reintroduce you now to the founder and president of Veteran Sisters. That's veteransisters.org. And her name is Paula Kemp. Paula, welcome back to America Trends.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, I see you've got some patriots there with you.
Yes, I do.
We're gonna wave. I don't think they're mic'd, but we'll give them a wave. So, Paula, you started this group because, so you went over, you became, you were a U.S. Navy veteran. You were a combat photographer. Can you tell me a little bit about your service? And then we'll talk about why you saw this need and why you chose to dedicate your life to this.
Sure. Sure. So I was a stay-at-home mom, and I started off as a reservist back in 1998. And this was, of course, before 9/11. And I got to, my kids were old enough, so I decided that I wanted to go into the reserves. And that's what I did. I became a combat photographer. And I'm sorry, the delay is just really bad.
Are you having trouble hearing it? We're hearing you fine. So if you just keep talking, you're sounding just good on okay on our end. If it's okay with you, Paula.
Sure, sure. So so I was a stay-at-home mom, and I decided to become. It was my turn to serve, and I went in and talked to a recruiter and went into the reserve program. The only opening that there was at the time was to be a photographer. So I said sure, and it ended up being a combat photographer position. I had no military experience prior to that, but the unit that took me on, that got stuck with me, they actually did a great job and trained me very well. It's like a duck to water. And so off I went running and became a photographer and traveled the world and did all kinds of fun stuff. So that's kind of that. And that was before 9/11. So once 9/11 hit, it was a whole different story, of course.
You know, I have so many questions to ask you just from what you just said. Like, I wonder if you think that people have forgotten 9/11. You look back, you and I will never forget it, but a lot of people, some of whom are making policy today, weren't of age, weren't alive yet. And so there's all that. But it's also interesting to me that you went and you photographed, you were a journalist for all this. And you got shots of things that were happening that that you saw through that lens. And what was that like? What would people be surprised to find out about what it was like to have that sort of vantage point?
Well, it's up close and personal. Being a reservist, I wasn't in the throes of it like the active duty side. I got to volunteer for a lot of the projects that I worked on. I did go to the Middle East and saw a lot of stuff that was after the fact of the wars and the atrocities that happened over there during the first Desert Storm. It's totally different. So it's images that are forever in my, in my brain that you can't really get rid of, as I'm sure even people without cameras experience. But you're documenting other people's lives and stories, and it's not about you. But you're there and you're a part of it, and it can be forever ingrained.
You know what, Paula? It takes my breath away when you describe it like that, because people do see things overseas that we can't imagine. I'm a civilian. I haven't done what you've done. But your job was to see it, take the photo, edit it, and have a series of them. And that has to have such an impact on your psyche. So I want to thank you for your service. And before I ask you about 9/11 and what you mean by it changed everything, I can imagine, but I want to ask you, I'd just like to thank the ladies who are with you for their service. Because it's not easy serving your country, and I'm sure it's not easy being a female. And do you want to just say their names and ranks and where they serve so we can just sort of honor them for a moment before we move on?
Absolutely. To my right is my Operation Wellness Director. This is Hi. Suzanne Baeza, and she's a Marine veteran. She was in the Marine Corps. To the back of me over here is this is Julie. Or no, this is Kimberly. Kimberly is my CFO, and she was a spouse, so she's a veteran spouse, and then with the Air Force. And then Julie, to the other side, she is a spouse as well. Her husband just got out of active duty, and he was in the Navy. And so we kind of really like to embrace and empower the female spouses that really, you know, help a lot with dealing with PTSD, in supporting their husbands. They really do help support the female veterans who are going through their PTSD and MSD and things like that. It's great having them on the staff, because they understand what we go through.
Oh, I'll bet. And these are, again, all these women are staffs on your group, Veteran Sisters. That's veteransisters.org. We're talking to Paula Kemp. And really, spouses really do have such a huge role. So I love that you're honoring them and getting their perspective. Okay, we've got about a minute till the break. I'm going to keep you over, lots to talk about. But just in 30 seconds, can you kind of say, 30 seconds, how what it was about 9/11? Where were you when you heard what had happened, and how did it move you to even, I'm sure you just thought, okay, it's on.
Yes, I remember watching it, waking up and seeing it on the TV and getting my kids ready for school and thinking that it was a TV show, you know, or an upcoming movie that I thought was coming, and commercial or something. And I was just caught off guard and completely in shock. Of course, immediately packed my bags and I was ready to go.
Okay, hold it there, Paula, because I want to get the rest of this story before we break. And talking to Paula Kemp, Veteran Sisters, doing a lot for the girls, for the ladies. And we thank you, and we'll see you after the break. Talk more about 9/11 and more. We are here to celebrate National Vet Girls Rock Day. You know, we actually love to profile anything veteran related, military related here on America Trends. So if you have a group where you're trying to help people, let us know. We'd profile you, get the word out, maybe get you some support. We love to do that. Meanwhile, we're talking to Paula Kemp from VeteranSisters.org. She is someone, U.S. Navy veteran. She went through the process of reintegrating to life after military service, and then she saw a need for female veterans going through the process, connecting with VA benefits that they'd earned through their service, all kinds of things that we would never think of that just, oh, there are some of our just wonderful ladies. Good patriots. And Paula, before I go on for a second, veteransisters.org is the website, but also there's a GoFundMe page for anyone who wants to click in right now and help this group out, help our military, help our female veterans to do some of the things that we're going to talk about that you spend your life doing. And the ladies who are with you today, thank you all for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you bet. So we talked a bit about, you know, you started and you served from 98 to 2006. So you were already enlisted. And then 9/11 happened and you were watching on TV. And like a lot of us, you couldn't believe what you were seeing and thought it was a movie or a commercial. I just, you know, thinking about it again, I can't believe what we saw. And when that second one hit, come on.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
So how did that change your commitment and what you wanted to accomplish in life and for your country?
Well, I think that it really rattled, you know, our core, you know, and definitely made me want to protect my children more and just, you know, anything and everything. It just brought it all home as to what we were doing. It was no longer just being a weekend warrior and having fun and in trainings and pretend. It became very real. And the training really had to kick in, and it was no longer training. It was, like I said, it was for real.
So that's you served, and then you dedicate your life post-service to still giving everything you have to help our women. Tell us about your group and what your biggest tenets are. And I know you help address the suicide issue, VA benefits and the gaps and how hard it is, which is just should be criminal. And I know Donald Trump's trying to do a lot to fix it, but there's still so much more to go. Sort of tell us what your main objectives are, Paula, for Veteran Sisters.
Well, so we're a peer-to-peer support and advocacy organization, and it started off with me just kind of buddying up with some of my female veterans that I would meet along my own journey of going through the claims process. And I saw that there was a huge need for just that companionship while going through the process. It can be very re-traumatizing and a difficult process. So just missing on that camaraderie and the sisterhood and coming together, and Veteran Sisters has just grown tremendously, even since the last time you had me on your show. We have over 1,300 members just in our closed Facebook page and our group. And then locally, we're just really working hard at building programs and different processes to bring us together to start healing and transitioning into civilian life, mother, sister, wife, you know, just all these things that we juggle as females, and then also with having been a service member. So when you're dealing with PTSD, you know, it's a whole lot of things. And a lot of the women that get out of the military, not all, but there's, unfortunately, there's a majority that have suffered military sexual trauma. So that's kind of what's gone into the primary focus of the journey of creating Veteran Sisters, was being there for each other and supporting each other through the process and bringing about awareness of what is going on with the military sexual trauma.
So very necessary. And again, 1 in 5 female veterans has experienced, it's estimated, military sexual trauma. 9 in 10 have suffered from PTSD. Female veterans are 2.5 more times likely than non-veterans to commit suicide. There are an estimated 3,600 female veterans that are homeless. Our best people, our patriots, homeless, whether it's male or female. These are huge things. So it's just so great that you are there to sort of bridge that gap, the peer-to-peer and all that. And you want to finish up mentioning some of the suicide issues? You want to move on to about the VA gap, because that is huge. We could do, you know, a whole show on that.
Yes. Yeah, I do want to, though, let people know. A lot of people are becoming familiar with the 22 a day. And, you know, that's the veteran suicide that they projected it or estimate that there's 22 veterans a day that kill themselves.
Okay, Paula, can I ask you that? Is that 22 veterans? That doesn't even include people who might be active right now?
You know, that's a good question.
I think it's just veterans.
I think it is too. At least that's what they say.
Yeah.
But I will say, though, I've recently heard that it's gone down to less than 22 a day. But the percentage of the female veterans that are committing suicide is on the rise. And that's concerning, of course. But the reason I feel, and my experience of my staff and us moving forward in advocating and talking to other female veterans, is that it's because the female veterans are not reaching out and utilizing the services that the VA is offering. And, you know, it's not to put down the VA, because they definitely have made a difference in the last few years. They're working very hard at trying to bridge that gap and reach out and help with the PTSD and suicide awareness. The Clay Hunt Project and all those things are fabulous, but the women seem to be falling in the cracks and not being able to reach out and use those benefits that our veterans as a group are offered. So that's where we're coming in and trying to bridge that gap and bring about awareness of what that gap is.
Talking to Paula Kemp from Veteran Sisters, veteransisters.org. If you can go there and support everything they are trying to do. so much to deal with PTSD and suicide and navigating the whole VA and the whole female sensitivity thing at the VA. I don't know if people were trained to just do one thing and primarily focus on what the men's needs are, but it's a whole different thing. Females wear so many hats, so many roles when they come home. You've got Operation Wellness. You're working on building a facility, and I want to make sure we talk about your event fundraiser coming up. Got about a minute and a half. So tell us about Operation Wellness, Paula.
Well, Operation Wellness would be a facility, much like, you know, a VFW or an American Legion, that is a great place for that was started for all the combat vets to come to that were for the VFW, and then all of the services to participate in the American Legion. So it's a gathering hole, you know, it's a watering hole. It's a place for us to come and have camaraderie. The female veterans aren't as comfortable going to those facilities, once again, because it's very male dominated. So we would like to find this space, and we call it Operation Wellness, where we could come together and have camaraderie and have classes and different projects and meditation, art, you know, whatever, to bring in those therapies that help us maneuver through, you know, life living with PTSD and MST. So all the sources that are out there, but more in a female friendly environment.
Oh, well, Paula, I can't thank you enough for everything you're doing. And just to go back over it, it's an event fundraiser for this facility that Veteran Sisters is trying to get. There's a poker run and music festival. The date is June 15th, 2019. And I know, Paula, you're based in Southern California, so people can get their tickets and come now. Go to your website to find out where and how. But if you just want to click in and support, you can do that as well. But again, check out Veteran Sisters and their big poker run music festival, June 15th. Paula, thank you so much. Politics are always trending. It's what everybody's talking about. People are either mad, sad, or glad about anything their candidate's doing or Trump or whatever. Michael Hart of the Heart of America show follows all this. And he talks every day on his podcast, his radio show. And we just love having him on America Trends because he brings, if you look at his website, there's one part of it, Michael, that says he brings cranky, conservative, caffeine-fueled rants and viewpoints, and that sometimes you throw things. So how are you feeling today? Are you worked up?
Actually, I've had a nap today, Amy, so I'm good to go. It's rainy, it's nasty here, it's perfect napping weather. So actually, I was asleep when you guys called in, so you were all good to go.
I'm really sorry to bother you, but listen, Michael, if you don't start bringing things to throw on here, these promises, you're not living up to it. Did you bring the headdress for Elizabeth Warren? Is that nearby?
It's over there next to my cowboy hat and my Make America Great Again cap.
Oh, you have a Make America Great Again cap? Well, your house is going to get burned down. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On that note, there's so much to talk about. Bernie declaring today, Monday, mm-hmm. If you're watching the first iteration of America Trends or listening right now, he's declared the border stuff, Venezuela, caravan news. But let's just talk about Jesse Smollett for a minute, won't we? You know, I ignored this story for several days because we didn't know what was happening. People said it was fake. We didn't know what was happening. I didn't want to say one way or the other. I didn't want to tilt my head or wink my eye and make someone think I thought a certain way. Because it's really hard to believe someone would do that. But frankly, watching people on the left, I saw someone from my home state on the day that Jesse Smollett of Empire alleged that two white males attacked him. They were wearing MAGA hats. They attacked him, allegedly, in Chicago in the early morning hours. Didn't take a sandwich, put a noose around his neck. All these strange things that people were saying. Well, why didn't he mention it to the security guard when he went home? Why was the noose still around his neck when the police showed up at his apartment? Sounds like some pretty good acting, some people said. I thought, please don't even let that be. You didn't like either sides of it. But some of the liberals were saying, how can anyone deny that all Trump supporters are racist? They actually were saying this without any due process, without anything. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it and what some of your callers are saying.
Well, you know, one of the things we talk about all the time, and it's the book that I wrote as well, deals with not knowing the history of this country, and not just from a colonial period, but, you know, yesterday was history. And we actually replayed some broadcasts from Al Sharpton and Tawana Brawley from back in the day. And if you don't remember that period of time, that was when we got the weaponization of racial assaults and attacks in this country. It's not to say they didn't occur, but Al Sharpton and Brawley pretty much... They kind of painted the way towards the ability to be able to make these false accusations for bringing people down. Now, in the case of Brawley, it was six law enforcement officers that supposedly had raped this young girl. That case fell apart. But you know what's really interesting about the Smollett thing is that now you have people that are coming out, even in the Islamic community, that are suggesting that he should be arrested for creating this false alarm, the false narrative, because it does diminish those events when they actually are legitimate. And absolutely. I find it it's completely reprehensible on every level, but I'm loving watching the politicians that supported this diving for cover now.
Oh, yeah, and the celebrities who just, they have nothing better to do, so they think they need to chime in with their voices. Alyssa Milano, thanks, Alyssa. We wondered what you thought. Not. So, oh gosh, what was I going to say about that? So Smollett, the cops, now they apparently, as of today, Empire saying they are slashing his role. And the word going around was that he even pulled this ruse. If that's what it is, he hasn't been completely convicted. But over the weekend, maybe it was Friday, Chicago police did come out and say, we are still looking into this, but we are not looking into it with Jussie Smollett as the victim. We're looking into it as something else. Oh, I know what I was going to say. By the way, Michael, you talk about how this will not do good service for other acts mm-hmm. that would happen. Boy crying wolf, classic example. But what about all the manpower, the cops who were put on this case, who could have been addressing other things in Chicago, where it's Murder Incorporated, and it's just off the heels of the polar vortex? They have real issues. And they have really important things they need to address. Not a fake noose, which, funny, one of the trending things is fake noose.
Right.
So it even makes it more of a travesty. The whole thing is disgusting.
Well, I don't know if you saw this story or not, but Hollywood 411, they actually speculated that Smollett might have been put up to this by the producers of Empire because of the sinking ratings.
Woo.
Now, if it goes to that degree, oh, you're going to see it really hit the fan. I won't have to throw anything because the entire country is going to be outraged.
Wow. I didn't see that.
Mm.
That's so bizarre. Oh, my gosh. And Terrence K. Williams, I don't know if you saw earlier on the show, but you guys should follow. Michael Hart is amazing on social media, but Terrence K. Williams, he said this is the first time that Nigerians had the scam pulled on them because apparently the two guys that Jussie Smollett allegedly hired to fake beat him up are from Nigeria. So Terrence had some amazing things to say. Okay, any more on Smollett? Should we talk about Bernie?
Oh, I always love talking about Bernie.
I always love playing his sound bites. He sounds like Larry David doing Bernie. It's just a joy. So he put out some commercial saying, hey, I'm running. Surprise nobody.
Right.
I mean, he's grandpa socialist. He started so much of this. Was he the guy you think that made it okay for some of these newcomers and new Congress people to come out and say, socialism's it? Because he was really going for it. And yeah, and then the whole thing about Hillary getting the nomination, and he got the shaft, really. So I wonder if he would put up with that again. What do you think?
Well, Bernie's absolutely a trailblazer. And the funny thing is, we were talking about this earlier today, is that with the advent of, you know, Cory Booker, who now apparently hates bacon, and Kamala Harris is running on a platform of I'm more stone than you, and then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the whole Berlin Wall, and, you know, Amy Klobuchar, and how far to the left this entire group has moved, so Beto O'Rourke that now thinks chain link fences are evil, Bernie Sanders suddenly looks moderate. Now, you think about that for just a second. All of a sudden, the crazy old man that used to have a role on Sesame Street looks like the sane one.
Michael, there's so much I want to address in that. Poor Cory Booker. God love him trying to save the meat. And it's, what do you say? We're all going to die, or everyone's going to die, or it's going to hurt the atmosphere and kill the environment and kill the earth. But the thing about it is, I think we've been eating meat since the beginning of time. I mean, that's just what I read in the Bible. I don't know.
Bacon is the most American thing you can do. And when you are no longer consuming pork, then there's a real issue in this country. And then he has to come out and defend himself a couple of days ago. I promise if I'm elected president, I won't force my vegan menu on you. I'm like, really? We moved from gun control to pork control. Oh, and I'm stunned by it. I can't wait for 2020.
Oh, and then Bernie, you know, spending all that fuel and all the money on all his miles that he travels on the airplane. But he's in a valid... You know what it is? It's always they take the fun stuff away from the constituency, but they can do whatever they want. It's a classic story, old as time. And then Kamala Harris, she's smoking and loving it, even though she was back in the day prosecuting people for it. Is that what happened?
Yeah, you know, of course, you know, she's smoking a bong, listening to Snoop Dogg, and now all of a sudden you should vote for her because she can roll a 1.5 with one hand.
Because she's cool.
I don't really... Yeah, which I don't get. And if that's where it's come to in this country today, you know, you can have it. There's this funny little thing out there, this discussion about selling Montana to Canada for $1 trillion. If that happens, I'm moving to Montana. I'm out of here. You know, I'm taking the slow boat because I can't live in a world where you got to be stoned. I mean, think about it. Over here, you're getting stoned, but with Booker, you can't have the munchies and eating your hamburger and your bacon. So how do we square all that?
And the world's going to end in 12 years, according to Ocasio-Cortez. What do we do? Okay, Michael, stay with us. We're going to bring you right back after this. Talking to Michael Hart of Heart of America and the author of Unknown America, a book everybody should pick up. Grab it now. I don't know, what do we have? Father's Day? I guess it's in a couple months. We bought it for everyone for Father's Day last year. Really great, but get it now because Michael's got several more editions coming because there's just strange stuff happening in the world. Michael, we're going to talk about Venezuela, Ocasio-Cortez, and then, oh, real quick before we talk, because I wanted to bring up the state suing President Trump. Isn't it interesting that Barack Obama popped up this weekend and said, you know, there's really a place for moderates to be running for presidency on the Democratic ticket for 2020? What do you think is going on in Obama's head right now?
You know, nobody can out-socialize anybody like, you know, Barack Obama can. And he has come out a couple of days ago, and now he wants to be a political consultant to some of those that are running. And when Barack Obama is attempting to move you back towards the center, you know, all of a sudden his presidency is, he was just setting us up, Amy, because this is so much more fun. And so when you got Bernie Sanders, who's a moderate, and Barack Obama, who is the middle of the road or independent voice of reason, suddenly, it's a scary time to be an American, but it's certainly an entertaining one.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing if not entertaining. So, of course, last week, President Trump made this national declaration trying to get some $8 billion to build the wall. He thinks that's what we need to build the wall, secure our border, keep Americans safe, and do a few other things. And now, of course, as expected, besides Democrats complaining and saying he's ripping apart the Constitution and the Founding Fathers wouldn't like it, and right, they are supposed to be the people who appropriate, but he is the president too. 16 states, of course, led by California, are coming together to sue over all that, and they're doing it in the 9th District in California that always tries to slam down everything Trump does. So, I don't know. What do you think is going to happen, Michael?
Well, you know, Trump, you know, pretty much telegraphed that he expected the lawsuits, the legal challenges. So I'm not the least bit surprised by it. Ironically enough, you know, he's got the constitutional standing for this. If he wins out in a court of law, I don't think they realize that they are giving him carte blanche to pretty much do whatever he wants to do in the future. He can emergency this and emergency that all day long. And I don't think he's going to necessarily do that because he's really just trying to shore up a campaign promise. But, you know, almost everything the Ninth Circuit touches, I want to say somewhere in the neighborhood of 71-72% of all of their cases get overturned by a more sane court. And, you know, Trump has attempted in the past to replace the justices in the Ninth Circuit. You know, they can see a doubling down on that as well as we prepare for the possible departure of Ruth Ginsburg. So I think it's an awful lot for them to take on their plate. Trump wins this one out because he has the constitutional justification. And if they read the Constitution at least, you know, once or twice in their lifetime, they might know that.
I wish people would read the Constitution, Michael. I wish they would get informed and think for themselves and not just get their news from CNN. You brought up Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and we've been saying for, about 75 days, where is she? because for the first time in 25 years, she took off 2 weeks from oral arguments in court. Well, now, all of a sudden, Friday, news came. She's in. She came in for a conference. So everyone's, you know, on the left are saying, Ruth is back. Ruth is back. No one said that she's going to be here for arguments starting today. I'm not sure. I don't have news yet whether she was there today. But it just feels like an 85-year-old is very, very ill. And they said that on the night before the State of the Union address, she made an appearance at her movie, the notorious RBG that came out. They said that she appeared. I didn't see any pictures. I saw actual pictures of the wide shots of a small audience where she wasn't anywhere. So the conspiracy theories are going to abound until they tell us how she's doing and give us some pictures besides wheeling her in for some conference on Friday. People just aren't buying it.
Well, in recent months, this has a real Fidel Castro feel to it, you know, to where they were sticking him up on a dolly and wheeling him around Havana for all the world to see. And I don't know the condition of her health, but, you know, we also have to ask the question of the condition of her mental health. She's got to be exhausted. I think she has more or less gotten to the point, you know, in some states, there's debate on whether or not people of her age or even should be allowed to drive any longer, let alone, you know, sit on the highest court of the land. So I think we're probably going to find out that Ruth Ginsburg is gone by the end of the year. Now, that's purely speculation on my part, but I feel pretty strongly about it.
They would do anything to keep Trump from having another Supreme Court nominee. And of course, it's her right. They are appointed for life on the Supreme Court. Got to move on to Ocasio-Cortez and her Berlin Wall stuff. What about this young mind in Congress, Michael?
Amy, I've always tried to be as cordial as I can. I refuse to call Hillary Clinton Hitlery, and I never call Barack Obama Barack Hussein Obama. I always wanted to win the argument intellectually. But Alexandria Cortez is, and let me say this as respectfully as I can, she is absolutely butterball insane. The woman
What?
She's butterball insane. She is all greased up, and she's a turkey, and she's got to go. The woman is a complete loon. And, you know, I find that very offensive because, you know, my great-grandmother left Czechoslovakia. My office is in my home. My studio is in my home. Directly beneath me is my garage where there's a table that was smuggled out of Czechoslovakia during Hitler's invasion by my great-grandmother. I have Jewish blood on the right side of my family, my mom's side of the family. And so I'm very offended by some of the comments that she has made, particularly as it relates to the Berlin Wall. Then you've got this Omar talking about anti-Semitism. And I don't even know if we have time into that.
Yeah.
But comparing the wall to our southern border to a wall that it basically imprisoned people. They were brutalized. They were desperate. They were starved half to death. They were killed. They were assassinated. They were hung within view of West Berliners for the purposes of the intimidation of the communists at that point in time. Those comments are reprehensible. And if some of the things that Donald Trump has said that are paling in comparison are impeachable, this woman needs to be thrown out on her. I mean, they need to Uber her out of there now.
And you're talking about Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, new congresswoman, right?
Both of them.
Oh, Ocasio-Cortez, too. But let's get about a minute, Michael. Let's talk about Omar's week. People are talking. She wants to defund Homeland Security.
What? Yes.
It's a little suspicious. And there's this whole thing about how they moved so many Muslims to Minnesota so they could get representation in Congress. And
by the way, her district is the largest recruitment center for Muslim terrorists in the United States of America. And she defended six Muslims that were caught defecting to Mexico that were going to ISIS, demanding leniency on that particular case before she was inaugurated or whatever it was. However, she was put into office. Okay. Very suspicious behaviors, Amy.
Okay, she's a woman of minority and a Muslim. She's got the triad of not being able to be spoken back to when she makes her anti-Semitic remarks. Not cool, right, Michael? 10 seconds.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I got to tell you, I don't have a whole lot to throw today, but I will introduce you to my little Trump. And I'll toss him over the rail.
Is that a pillow?
It's my pillow. It's my backside pillow.
Oh, till next time, my friend.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterol is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
Welcome back. I'm Amy Fuller here on America Trends with you. We are on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio 5 days a week. Certainly glad to have you along. Glad to have our guest with us on this hour. We had Paula Kemp of Veteran Sisters. That's veteransisters.org. It is National Girl Veteran Girls Rock Day. And we're celebrating the 2 million women who have served in all of our armed forces. And they've got a big event coming up in mid-June, a poker run and music festival. They're trying to raise money for all the things they do for our women who come back and are trying to adjust and work their way through the VA and you know, deal with PTSD and suicide and all these things. So it's nice to have this sisterhood. If you have a military group where you're supporting anyone in our military, male, female, whatever, we love to support this. This is one of the reasons why we do what we do. Contact us. We'd love to profile you and help raise support for everything you're doing. Michael Hart of the Heart of America show was in talking about the political headlines of the day. Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders throwing his hat into the ring. Oh, what else? Just everyone coming in on the Democratic ticket. And find him at his Heart of America website. He's very active on social media, too. It's a lot of fun. Today he brought his new Donald Trump pillow and he threw it. And so it's always nice. He's always got props, and he's a cranky conservative caffeine fuel. This is what he promises on his website. So that's why we invited him on in the first place. So we always love to have him on. Finally, tonight, before we go, you have a trailer trending for a new movie out. It's called Alita, Battle Angel. And here's how it's described. An epic adventure of hope and empowerment. Who could ask for anything more? We're going to show you this as we say goodbye for now. Alita, Battle Angel. Here you go.
Does it bother you that I'm not completely human?
You are the most human person I have ever met.
Didn't I tell you to be home before dark?
I just lost track of time.
Alita,
you have to be responsible. You are someone very special.
Hey, kid.
Not just a teenage girl.
Hey, what's your problem?
You can't remember.
What do you mean?
Doc found you in the scrapyard. So you must be from up there.
And I'm just an insignificant girl.
Yeah, that's what they want you to think.
I'm not your daughter. I don't know what I am.
I do. You're the most advanced weapon ever.
But that's just a shell. It's not bad or good. That part's up to you.
I do not stand by in the presence of evil.
She's threatening the natural order of things.
Tonight is not a game. It is a hunt. I need you to destroy a girl called Alita.
You made the biggest mistake of your life.
And what's that?
Underestimating who I am.